Disasters lay before us, everything would shut down, wouldn't it? No planes would fly, no trains, no ocean liners, no anything that was due up for disaster. And the same applies to a towboat pushing 40 million pounds of coal. Nurse, I'm right in the middle of something.
Will you shut that off, please?
No, leave it on. Nurse, you're interrupting.
Mr. Hardy, I'm in charge.
I'm the one inhabiting this body, and I can tell you it's doing fine. Now, let me finish. I'll rest much better once I get all this off my chest.
No, I'm sorry. As long as you're a patient in this hospital...
Nurse, get out. Now!
Well, I'll see the doctor hears about this.
Mr. Hardy, are you sure...
Shh. Wait. If she hears, you should come back.
You really shouldn't overtax yourself.
Oh, I wasn't. That was my authoritative yell. I need one, being the size I am, with freckles, perpetually looking like I belong on a box of Wheaties.
Come on, you don't look that young.
Last year, in my hometown, a storekeeper mistook me for someone else, asked if I was going to the senior prom.
I wish I had your problem.
Yeah. You don't have any problems. No?
Yes. Maybe we should keep going before they come back to throw me out. I'll just rewind.
As long as you're a patient in this hospital,
get out.
Shall I raise...
Now! You don't have to. At least they'll know I can yell. Sometimes it's vital when you have to give an order. I had to give several like that the night this all came down. I yelled that way at Silas Buell. Did he tell you that? About the same time I was picking him up and slamming him against the wall. Did he mention that too?
Developing to the north. The forecast for the region, including greater Cincinnati and west 100 miles to Louisville, sunny, pleasant, slight chance of an afternoon thunder shower, possibly accompanied by strong winds, rain locally heavy. However, most of the region is expected to enjoy clement weather as summer-like conditions overspread the area.
22, United States Coast Guard Group Ohio Valley notice to navigation. To all river traffic located downstream of mile 436 on the Ohio River, Captain Anthony Meldahl logged at dam 7 a.m. A breakaway barge is lodged in the lower gate at the Meldahl Dam, preventing its full operation. No structural damage was sustained. Pool levels above and below the dam will not be affected. All locking through activities are proceeding as normal. Removal of the obstruction has commenced and should be completed within 72 hours. This is United States Coast Guard Group, Ohio Valley, 7 a.m. report.
72 hours? Must have really gotten stuck.
What happened?
Probably need a floating crane to lift it out.
What happened, Uncle Jeb?
Well, they didn't say exactly. The barge may have gotten off its mooring upstream and drifted down on the dam before they could catch it. Or it might have been pilot error. That's happened before.
How was that?
Well, for instance... Imagine a northbound tow like us, pushing 30 barges, not 15. But 15 is all the lock can handle, so he has to double through. He uncouples and takes the front half up in the lift and pushes it forward to the end of the guide wall where he's going to tie off and go back for the rest. Except he doesn't quite get it tied off. Deckhands are sloppy. Somebody misses lassoing a timber head. The pilot's in a hurry. He doesn't kill her off, check the headway, and already he's gone back for the rest. The front half is still drifting forward. Not fast, but it doesn't have to be. That amount of weight is a lot of inertia to overcome. You can't just reach out and stop it with your hands. If you don't get a line on it, you can't stop it at all.
So, what happens?
Everybody panics. They all scramble. The towboat's out of reach because it's already going back down in the lift. Before they can mobilize, the lead barge drifts out beyond the guide wall where the current snatches it, sends it drifting down on the side of the dam. And you end up with a jammed roller gate and a lot of red faces. If you're going to be a pilot, You have to be precise and pay attention.
I know.
I snuck a look to see if Silas Buell was listening. I was aiming some of this at him. Inwardly, I felt like a coward, trying to make amends for yesterday. But today was probably our last. If he was going to okay me this job, there was still a chance. It wouldn't hurt to show I knew something. Of course, later, I wish I'd never bothered. The day continued to grow finer. Having passed Louisville, we were encountering more recreational boaters. Around 11, a couple of muscle guys on jet skis came zooming up behind us. Zigzagging off our wake, riding our rooster tail, looked like fun, and they were bent on having it, but they didn't realize what risks they were running. 40 million pounds upper river takes a lot of thrust. For that, we've got two propellers, each 11.5 feet in diameter, powered by two train-sized diesel engines, reaching tip speeds of 90 miles per hour. No big deal, except the water coming out the back is moving about 70 miles per hour. Takes a long while to slow up. If those two nitwits on skis had talent for brains instead of muscles, they might have stopped to think what happens if you fall off into something moving 70 miles per hour the other way. Not even steroid muscles can hold up to that. And it's not like falling off a pair of water skis either, because in this case, it's the water moving fast, not the skier. Water's heavy, dense, and very rigid when it's turbulent. But the goddess of dumb luck was smiling on them, and after a while they departed. Just before midday, I put us through at Markland, steering perfectly. Once again, old Silas said nothing. It would kill him to ever say something commendable. I went to lunch, and then to my cabin for rest before the night watch. The sky was blue as I went in, not a cloud anywhere casting a shadow. The way I figured, this was just about the time it was beginning to rain up north. By 6 p.m., when I came on watch again, they were already issuing advisories.
This is NOAA Weather Radio with a 6 p.m. weather advisory. A line of fast-moving thundershowers and rain squalls has erupted north, spreading eastward, fed by a low-pressure system centered above Lake Michigan. Weather stations across north and central Ohio, extending south to below Columbus, are reporting heavy rain. Rainfall is not expected to reach the tri-state area. At this hour, little change in river conditions is anticipated owing to the fast-moving nature of this front. However, boaters and other marine interests are advised to keep aware. Monitor this channel for further updates. This has been a 6 p.m. weather advisory from NOAA Weather Radio.
The sky was still basically cloudless. There was a thin line now appearing on the northeast horizon. The moon was already up and full, a pale ghost that the eye scanning the sky caught and then lost again. Tonight it would be bright as a lighthouse if the clouds didn't thicken up and obscure it. By 8 p.m., it was no longer a line of thunder showers, but an intense band of heavy downpours, no longer characterized as fast moving. Plus, they began using words like ground saturation, runoff, and one that I wasn't overly fond of, hazardous.
Securite, United States Coast Guard Group, Ohio Valley Advisory to all marine and shore interests located downstream of mile 436 on the Ohio River, Captain Anthony Meldahl, Lock and Dam, 8 p.m. Breakaway barge was lodged in the roller gate of the Meldahl Dam early this morning has not been removed. The obstruction is preventing a roller gate at the dam from closing. As a result, excess runoff from heavy rains occurring north and east of the river cannot be withheld or delayed. 7 p.m. Meldahl reported no change in river conditions. As of 8 p.m., Meldahl reports a 1 foot rise, current doubling to 10 miles per hour. A small boat advisory is in effect. Small boats are recommended to seek shelter. Commercial interests advised proceed with caution. This has been an 8 p.m. advisory, United States Coast Guard Group, Ohio Valley out.
A hole in the dam sounded serious, but wasn't that serious. These dams across the Ohio are not like those big hydroelectric dams out west. These don't really store water, they regulate it. They're placed there like steps in a fish ladder. And each dam controls the level of the next step. They can't really hold back water, but they can delay it. Most times. Not this time, however. The next weather update came only a half hour later. The picture it painted was even more ominous.
Securite, securite, securite. Stand by on channel 22 Alpha for United States Coast Guard advisory. Securite, securite, securite. United States Coast Guard Group Ohio Valley with an 8:30 p.m. advisory. The Ohio River and all tributary streams in the southwest, southern, and southeast Ohio, including Little Miami, Scioto, Muskingum, are now experiencing flash flooding conditions. A frontal system has stalled, heavy rains continuing. Rainfall, which invaded further south than expected, is producing hazardous river conditions. Stations south as Portsmouth on the Ohio River reporting 2-foot rise from 7 to 8 p.m., an additional 1-foot rise within the past half hour. Heavy rains will gradually taper off as the system slowly works east, departing the area by 10 p.m. tonight. However, river levels will continue to rise, cresting in most areas, not occurring until the early a.m. hours. Meantime, hazardous boating conditions will exist. Small boat advisories in effect. Look out for strong currents, rising waters, floating debris. Small boats are advised to seek shelter. Commercial interests proceed with caution. This has been an 8:30 p.m. advisory from the United States Coast Guard Group, Ohio Valley. Next update is in 1.5 hour. Out.
I still figured we could outrun the worst of it. Melgal hadn't gone up that much yet. Portsmouth sounded like they were catching it worse, but Portsmouth was another 40 miles upriver. We only had to make another 16 to New Richmond, and we'd be tied up, secure, by the time the worst of it hit. There was one other factor to consider, and that was what lay ahead of us. We were coming into the hills around Cincinnati. The twilight landscape was looming larger and higher. The effect was like entering a gorge. It wasn't just an illusion of nightfall, either. The hills on both sides really did encroach, reducing the width of the river, bringing into play that law of physics called the Venturi effect. Same volume of water squeezed through a smaller opening increases its velocity. Add to that the Cincinnati bridges, 7 of them, crossing over from Cincinnati to Kentucky, a hazard by themselves that you might hit one. But the bridge supports also occupy part of the riverbed, compressing it further. Further increasing its speed. We passed Old South Harbor. We were coming up on the first of the bridges, the railroad bridge. I would have to decide soon. Once we started through, we'd have to press on. Beyond the bridges, there were too many other hazards to contend with. The Dayton Bar to hang us up. The old ice piers that could tear out our bottom. Then there was the 7-mile bend itself, one of the wickedest curves in the river. If the Ohio River was like a water slide, then 7-mile bend was definitely its fastest chute. There'd be no good places at all to hold up until we got beyond the Little Miami River and the bridge at Interstate 275.
Mr. Harding, you're shivering.
Am I?
We've got to stop.
No, I want to finish it.
All right, but can you rest a minute?
You talked to them?
Yes, I did.
How they doing?
Baby's fine. The little girl's recovering. The parents are like zombies, functioning barely. I think they're going to need counseling to really get over this. I'm trying to arrange them.
You are?
Yes. Why?
No reason. I take it you're the kind of person who has difficulty not getting involved.
Now you sound like my law school professor. She said I should have been a social worker. I can't help it. I like representing people, not barges. Anyway, I did talk to them. They were a young family just moved out from Cape Cod. Experienced ocean sailors, but no experience at all on river. That didn't seem to worry them. As the husband told me, it wasn't like the ocean. You couldn't really get lost on it. Even in fog, you were never that far from shore.
getting late, Steve.
Come on, at least come take a look at it.
Dad,
keep going.
The boat was at a marina up the Little Miami, a mile or so above the Ohio. It was brand new. They had just gotten it.
Is that it?
That's it.
Cool. Make it awesome.
It's very
good. You like it?
They decided to go for a quick spin before nightfall. They began having engine trouble before they left the dock. When the engine caught, they cast off, but it's quit again.
Hooray!
There. Wait, Nikki, don't cast off.
I'm sorry.
I wasn't ready for you to.
They were drifting out on the current. I don't think any of them realized the danger.
I really don't understand it.
Kiernan, I don't like the looks of this current. We're being swept out. Look how muddy it is.
I don't.
If you can't start the engine...
I'll start it. I'll start one of them. Just... We better tie off until I can. When we drift near the bank, I'll have a chance. Whoa!
Oh! Oh! Way too strong.
Okay, let's everybody get our life jackets on. One for you. This one's your size.
Okay. Wear it.
All the way fastened.
What about Junior?
He's too small. We'll just hold him.
Lily, I want you to stay seated. Keep holding your brother. Should I try paddling?
It won't do much good except to fend off if we have to. Look, when we drift near shore, when there's a chance, I'll grab onto something and tie us off. Let's get a line ready.
I hate it. We're spinning. Look at this current. How could it be this bad?
I don't know. Here's a chance. On this side. Come over on this side. Hold my hand. I'm going to reach out.
Honey?
I can't. No. Missed it. Look, there's a limb. We'll pass under. Get ready. I'm going to grab for it.
Be careful.
I've got to get up higher. I've got to stand up here.
Be careful.
Hold my leg.
Nikki, hold the baby better than that. Hold the baby.
Hold my leg. I've got it.
Let go. Let go. We're going to fall.
Yeah, let go.
Don't yell at me.
Water was pulled.
Hush, Nikki.
What do we do?
Listen. All right, listen. We'll be at the Ohio River in just a few minutes. It's wider. The current will slow down. We can make it short. I'll call somebody. I'll call Rusty.
Daddy, are we all right?
We're fine, Nikki. We're fine. Just look after... Actually, Cindy, why don't you hold the baby now?
Hand him to me.
Hope we get out of this.
Oh, we're going to.
It's getting so dark. Do we have a flashlight?
I didn't bring one.
A radio? Some way we can call?
We can yell to shore if we see someone.
Do we have an air horn or whistle or something?
I can whistle.
We'll all yell if we have to, if we see anybody.
In the meantime, what do we do?
Nothing. We're fine. When we get to the Ohio, we'll slow down. Be able to paddle to shore, call someone. In the meantime, I'll get one of these engines started.
Honey, I smell gasoline.
I do too.
Damn.
Oh, damn!
What?
Gasoline has leaked into the bilge. You must have turned the fuel line valve the wrong way.
I did it the way you said.
Well, it's leaked anyway.
Oh, my God.
Dad?
It's all right. We're safe. We're fine. We can't try the engine or the outboard motor anymore. We don't dare fire the spark plugs. Look, we're coming to the mouth. There's the Ohio up ahead. Look, there are two people on the shore.
Hey! Hello! Can you help us?
Help us! Help!
Over here! Help! We have no power!
Cindy, hush the baby. I can't hear.
What? No, but we have no power! The current's too swift! We're being swept down! We have children on board! Thank you!
Hurry! Thank you!
Well, that's good.
Daddy, are we all right?
Yes, we are, honey. We're all right now. We're fine. Help's on its way. We can all just relax. Look around. We're on the Ohio River now.
Yeah.
This is our maiden voyage. We might as well enjoy it.
I'll enjoy it when it's over.
I can't wait to get home.
Come on now, you two. Where's your adventuresome spirit? Look, we've slowed down like I said we would. Even Junior likes it. Reminds him of his cradle at home.
The current's carried us out into the middle. I'd prefer to be closer to shore.
Well, there's nothing around us that's going to cause us any problems. There's that tow barge going down river, too, same way we are. It's already past us. No need to be, honey. You see, there's a big curve coming up. You see those lights in the sky around the bend up there? That's the city of Cincinnati. It really lights up the sky. Must be a game going on at Riverfront Stadium. As soon as we get around there, we'll be a lot more visible for people to see us and pick us up. I'm sure the Coast Guard's on the way already.
What should we do about the gasoline?
Nothing. I'm not sure whether a lot leaked out or a little. Not too much, I guess, but we'll just be careful.
Daddy, I want to go home.
We will soon, sweetheart. I promise we will. Just be patient. Look at the moon.
Right when the moon comes out, it's dark when it goes away. I wish it would come out.
It will soon. Pretty soon. It's behind that big cloud. Do you see? It's going to come out pretty soon.
Dear, would you look at that bonfire burning on shore?
Yes.
It's moving.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. Watch it. I swear it is.
Cindy, it's because we're moving.
Honey, that fire is moving.
You're right.
Here comes the moon out.
My God. Where's the paddle?
Quick, the paddle.
Honey?
Never mind. We've got to try the engine.
We need the gasoline.
It doesn't matter. We have to risk it.
Why?
That fire is on a coal barge.
Okay, but we're going to miss it. It's way over against the shore.
You don't get it. It's coming around the bend. Look, the towboat. See? Just coming into sight. The fire and that boat are connected. The fire is on that boat. All that in between, all that black, it's all barges.
We have to get out of the way. Do something.
That's what was going on, huh?
They were terrified. I would be.
What a mess. I'm glad I didn't know. I had enough of a mess on my hands without him. Once I made the decision to press on, I called ahead to clear traffic. This is the Nancy M calling for any traffic. Any concerned river traffic heading southbound above 7 Mile Bend. This is the Nancy M northbound out of Cincinnati.
This is Sendak back,
Cap. I'm
headed here, go 13.
Nancy,
I'm
on 13.
Well, yeah, Cap, I'm headed your way up here at mile 463, just above Little Miami. You going to clear those bridges before I get there?
Come ahead, I'll be through in plenty of time.
Well, good, I'm looking forward to seeing you. What kind of speed you make?
Now, I'm making 4 against the shore, but I'm pushing to make it.
Yeah, I'm making about 15 miles an hour, and I'm not lifting a finger. Watch yourself through those bridges. I tell you what, I figure we'll be meeting each other around 7 Mile Bend, so why don't we see each other on one whistle?
He was being a gentleman. The one whistle meant passing port to port. On a left-hand curve, he was offering me the inside track. It's hard to explain unless you're a pilot, but it's about the same as two people meeting on a sidewalk and the other fellow stepping out of the way. Thank you very kindly, Captain. That's much appreciated. One whistle it is. Have a good night.
Same trip.
We were coming up to the I-75 bridge. I noticed our ground speed dropping, even though I hadn't slacked off. Indication of stronger current. It was taking us 3 minutes, stem to stern, to pass a point on shore. I increased our RPMs, then added a bit more. I wanted to get this over with. We were coming through downtown Cincinnati. I could see the stadium and the Coliseum, The Reds were playing a night game. I couldn't see any of the action, but the stadium lights were sure illuminating the sky above it. I was lining up for the next bridge. A party boat was passing by, full of revelers. I was watching out for little boats. There are always several buzzing around like gnats every time I passed through here. There were two restaurants on moorings on the Kentucky side that looked full to capacity. A speedboat was overtaking us on the right. A couple of dumbos with a couple of bimbos in the back seat. They were intoxicated, I was fairly sure of it. I could see beer cans. The motor jockey at the wheel kept glancing over at us as they surged ahead. Just by looking at him, I could tell what he was thinking. It's happened on the river before. A variation of the old daredevil routine of racing a train to the crossing. In this case, we were the train.
This is Sandbag calling for the
Nats. Luke, keep your eye on that guy. Tell me if he starts to cross our bow.
How will I know?
Now you'll see his port light showing red. That means he's turning. I think he's going to cut in front.
Stupid young punks are to be taken off the river.
And shot. I can almost hear him add. Sinbad, this is the Nancy M. Go to 13.
Sinbad on 13. Captain, I'm going to suggest we make a little change and meet on two whistles.
Starboard to starboard. He was forcing me to take the outside of the curve.
I'm up here abreast of the ice piers. Since we passed this Miami, I'm getting a little more current than I'm comfortable with. And I want to be sure to be lined up for those bridges. You're about through, aren't you?
I couldn't argue. His was the downbound boat. He had the right of way. That's right. Just about to pass under the singing bridge now.
Good job. He's getting across.
Son of a... I leaned on the horn. It didn't do any good. It disappeared from view. Okay, Sinbad. Two whistle it is. Thank you.
Funny, man. Much obliged, Captain.
The speedboat had disappeared. Because from where I am in the pilot house, looking forward across four football fields... There's a 300-foot blind spot in front of me. All I could do was count the seconds, estimating their speed when they should be appearing out the other side. 1,001, 1,002. Pretty soon, if they didn't show, I'd have to back her down. No other choice. 1,003, 1,004. But you don't stop these vessels on a dime, not unless your dive is 500 to 1,000 feet long. 1,005, 1,006. I laid on the horn once more. Then I saw them. They had made it across, but barely. They were sitting, idling, just out of our path. Their motor was running. Something must have damaged their propeller, hitting a submerged log, maybe. From the ashen look on their faces, I could tell something had gone wrong. They were badly shook. They all look sober now, that's for sure. I stepped out to yell at them anyway.
You got it, yeah. Stay back! Stay back!
We were passing under the singing bridge. I glanced down at the bridge support where the river was flowing around it. There I could get a visual sense of how fast the current was really running. In the lurid reflection from the city lights, I could see how much force was in it. I didn't like it. I didn't like it one bit. What's more, the barges themselves were waking up, rubbing and issuing low moans and groans like the lowing of water buffalo. Another indication of the current's strength. I sent Willie and Eugene forward to tighten down as much as they could. I've already mentioned the problem of slackness. It's doubly so when you're pushing upriver. What it's like? Imagine 15 shopping carts... loaded with groceries, and you're pushing them in a line going the wrong way on a moving conveyor belt that has curves to it. You're pushing from the back with one hand holding a block of wood. That's about the best way to describe it. We were leaving the immediate downtown area, the hills and darkness closing in on us again as we left the stadium and city lights behind us. The dark clouds between us and the moon were shutting out moonlight like a camera shutter, but the clouds above us and behind were pure white by the moon's radiance. They looked artificial, like decoys. We were coming to the head of Seven Mile Bend, the near shore pulling back, the far shore sliding across. I was looking for Sinbad's bow lights to show. I checked the radar for smaller traffic, but there were so many blips on the screen from snags and other drift coming down, it was impossible to tell one blip from the other. I saw the bow of Sinbad coming around the bend. I moved wider in the curve to give him room. This put me in the strongest part of the current. Water accelerates coming around a bend. It flows fastest on the outside. As soon as Sinbad was past, I would begin easing us back to the inside track, but there would be a dangerous moment, as I would have to angle back across the current and risk topping in the channel. Topping is turning sideways. If I didn't keep enough power on, we could begin to topple over. Once it starts, it's hard to correct. Like balancing a stack of plates against gravity. Once they start to go over, it's hard to get under them again. If you don't watch it, you're sideways. Then you're out of control. Then you break apart. Breaking apart in this case meant letting loose 15 unguided missiles traveling 12 miles an hour with payloads of 1,500 tons or so, and more or less aiming them at the bridges and restaurants downtown, at the bridges where people would be passing over after the game, at the restaurants where patrons were enjoying coffee and dessert. Topping was to be avoided at all costs. I stopped worrying about that problem because I noticed the faint glow spreading brighter at our bow. I snatched up the binoculars. I could see flames, too.
Coal fire in the lead barge.
Run down and wake up Mr.
Polk.
Tell him I want him out on the tow with a walkie-talkie right away. Tell him I want him to look out for me. You understand?
Right up, Jim.
Come right back. Silas, call up the Coast Guard.
That's him. This is Sinbad. You folks know you've got a problem.
Yes, Mr.
I
see your light. I don't know. I see flames, not just smoke. I doubt it's spontaneous combustion. We nearly ran over a boat back there. Maybe they did. Something got dropped on us back at the bridges. I never saw anything, though. I watched their progress moving out on the tow. Luke returned to the pilot house. Silas grudgingly called the Coast Guard. The Sinbad was passing to starboard.
Okay, I'm on your camera. You're right. Looks like a runaway flare. You set it off. Plenty of smoke. I think we can handle it, though. Set it up. Get the pump going. Let's go.
Mark?
Get the hose on the side.
Mark, how are we doing up there?
The fire seems
clear. No, I mean up ahead. Are we clear? I said, are we? What was that? Mark, what's happening up there? I'm going up there. Luke, stay here. Silas, take the wheel.
I'm not authorized.
You old fool. You're on this boat. Now you do what I tell you.
Put me down. Put me down.
Take the wheel. I grabbed a walkie-talkie.
Hold this course.
I grabbed a flashlight.
As soon as Sinbad comes by, I need to make a crossing. Do it rapidly. Don't take any power off unless I tell you.
I grabbed a first aid kit, two blankets, a life jacket.
Luke, stay here.
Okay, Lieutenant.
Stay on the walkie-talkie.
Okay.
I had to do some nimble-footed running to get out there. I was running the gunnels. I'd slip one way, I'd land on a pile of coal. I'd slip the other, and, well, I might get a leg rubbed off the way old Silas did. I was having trouble carrying the stuff, keeping the flashlight aimed, and jumping over wires, timber heads, and hatch covers. A working tow is an obstacle course, even by day. By night, it's treacherous. The clouds shutting out the moon were not helping. It wasn't exactly a 50-yard dash, either. More like a 325-yard dash. By the time I was four rows out, it felt like a marathon. I had to slow up, stop for a minute. The towboat engine was barely audible. I could just pick out the sound of the pumps working up ahead. Hopefully, everything would be solved by the time I got there. Everybody rescued, the fire put out. I had about a million things running through my mind. Chief among them, did I do right in not stopping the tow the minute I hit another boat? The first rule of the water is safeguard human life. Fine. But which do you safeguard? The people we ran over? Dead by now, if they weren't rescued. What about the public downriver below us? No, this was right. One calamity was enough. I had to make sure we didn't create another, much bigger. Then I heard him calling.
Where are you?
He was in the duck pond. Barges have a raked bow and a squared-off stern. When two are joined, a gap is created called the duck pond. I followed the voice to the nearest opening. I lay down on my stomach with a flashlight and looked under.
Help me! Please! Help me!
Okay,
Mr. Hang on. We're going to get you out.
He was out of reach. He had managed to wedge himself.
Okay. We've got a man stuck in the duck pond between 12 and 15. Eugene, I'm going to need some help. Silas, keep a steady arm. He's wedged us. I think our constant speed is helping to hold him up. Let's move.
Help's coming. How you doing?
What's wrong here?
All right, now, listen to me. You go under, I'm going to come up again in about 20 seconds, maybe less.
Hurry!
I'll be there to grab for you.
Hurry!
Try to work your way left. Come to the feet. He went under. I dropped everything but the flashlight and took off running. I was racing against the current. If he was going to have any chance at all of surviving, I had to get there first and be ready when he came up. I arrived at the next opening and leapt across. I flung myself down, secured both feet under a wire. Dangerous, but I had to have leverage. I dangled across the opening from my waist. My arms were outstretched. I was holding the flashlight aimed down, trying to give him something to see underwater, something to swim for. I hung there. 3 seconds. 4 seconds. 5. Had he already gone by? Should I run back? One thing I found out. You can prepare yourself for a lot of things, but the sudden onslaught of a drowning man is not one of them. He erupted out of the white foam water in front of me, grabbing on me, grabbing my arms, my back, climbing for the sky, clawing for the sky. The result was, he got out, but I went in. The instant I entered the water, the incline of the bow closed over me, sliding me down. 9 feet, before it leveled off and began sliding above. With one hand raised, I could feel the mossy bottom sliding over me. I kept my fingers touching to keep from losing sense of which way it was up in the total blackness. Without a life jacket, my clothes saturated, my shoes on, I had a tendency to sink. But the swiftness of the current was counteracting, helping keep me up. The sensation was not that I was moving, but that the barge above me was speeding by. It was essential not to panic. There was no chance of swimming sideways, the current too powerful. I could never make it in time, nor on one breath. I waited for the end of the barge and kicked hard for the surface. My heavy clothes were slowing me. Too late. The bow of the next barge was already on top of me, tipping me backwards, sliding me down its base, and worst of all, I never caught a good breath. There would be one more chance. One final duck pond. I kicked off my shoes. I couldn't risk shedding anything more. I had to be ready. My lungs were hurting. I began to think more about air than grabbing on. This time, whatever happened, I was determined to capture a fresh lungful. I felt the end of the barge and kicked upward, expelling air as I went. Down the incline again with a stolen lungful. I was underneath the final barge now. Next would come the towboat. and the suction. The underneath of a towboat has two giant funnels that lie before the propellers. They pull water in and compress it before it reaches the props to create maximum thrust, a certain death trap to anything caught in its pull. At least I knew what I had to do. I couldn't go up. I couldn't swim sideways. I couldn't swim forward. There was only one direction to go, and that was down. I curled into a tuck position, brought my legs over my head. I tried pushing off, but the current, the moving boat, the mossy bottom made me slip, and all I did was tumble over once or twice and lose my orientation. I got it back. I curled again for one final try, probably my last if I missed. I pushed off, and this time got enough of a solid spring to propel myself downward. The darkness no less total, but the temperature cooling off told me I was descending. I kicked hard, using up oxygen, but I had to get deep quickly. Little lights were darting behind my eyes, my lungs screaming. It was difficult to head down and not up. I could feel fingers of suction pulling at me. I felt the bottom suddenly come up, and I flattened myself against it, gathering up an armful of mud to hold me down, burrowing down like a frog in the muck. The boat must be almost over me now. I could feel the upward suction pulling like a vacuum cleaner. I fought to hold on. The urge to open my mouth and breathe in was so strong that the pain in my lungs was actually less. The lights behind my eyes flashing brighter, my mind becoming drowsy. I was going out. I had to let go. It was either come up now or don't bother. I let go and felt myself immediately drifting upwards. Then a great force hit, a blow aimed mostly at my back. Whatever air was left in my lungs got expelled. I felt a separation in my shoulder. My head snapped forward. I blacked out. I was weightless in some murky way station in another world, curtains of hazy light hanging down. I felt I was out of my body, devoid of sensation, not thinking, not planning, no ambition, just waiting to be processed into some afterlife. It took me a long while to realize what the curtains were. Moonlight. Dimly I perceived I must not be more than a foot or two beneath the surface. With one arm and one leg working, I managed a feeble kick upwards. Looking up at everything. The night sky, the clouds, the city and her bridges, people on it, going home after the game. Nobody saw me. Then a few did. Then they all did. I didn't feel pain. I wasn't even cold. It was peaceful. I couldn't hear what they were saying because my ears had gone back underwater. They looked concerned, but I wasn't. I almost smiled because this was the same feeling, sort of, that I remember when my mother was having me baptized. I guess some people take more immersing than others. There was a guy on the bridge climbing over the railing, about to jump in to help me, but They stopped him. People are good. Everywhere. I heard the whine of an outboard. A bright searchlight struck me in the face and held on. For the first time, I noticed how muddy the water was around me. More people crossing over, stopping to watch, cheering as they hauled me out. The game was over. I wonder who won. I wonder. It was exciting.
Mr. Hardy? Mr. Hardy, are you awake? The attorney is here to see you again.
Is this a good time?
Sure, Claire. Come on in.
I just stopped by for a minute. I know you'll be getting out soon. I wanted to let you know Silas Buell has decided to retire permanently.
Oh, really? Well, that's good.
Also, I have to give you this.
What's this? Is this the action they're going to take against me? Am I being sued? There must be some mistake. It says captain.
No, no mistake.
Really? Really? And I suppose you have nothing to do with this.
I presented your case.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. People, not barges. Well, I'll tell you what, Miss Knight. I'm feeling pretty good all of a sudden.
You are?
I'm tired of this hotel.
I imagine.
What say I check out and you drive me home?
Glad to.
Luke will probably be there. You can meet my new niece.
Love to.
You can stay for dinner.
I'd like that.
And I'll tell you about it all over again.
I'm listening.
You have been listening to Cape Cod Radio Mystery Theater's presentation of Danger at 7 Mile Bend. The actors. Richard Thomas played Jeb Hardy.
The reflection of the water showing off the sky like the reflection off a chrome bumper.
Nicole Noel was Claire Knight.
I wish I had your problem.
John Hartford was the U.S. Coast Guard.
The breakaway barge was lodged in the lower gate of the Meldal Dam early this morning, has not been removed.
Stephen Russell played Marvin and the announcer.
Come on, we're not living on the ocean anymore. Let's learn to enjoy motorboating.
Anne-Marie Lang was Cindy.
Honey, that fire is moving.
David C. Wallace was Silas Buell.
Yeah, we kicked me in the leg.
Captain Edgar Allan Poe played the captain of the Sinbad.
Funny, man. Much fun, Captain.
Mark Birmingham played Pullman and Willie.
Get through the doors, Captain. Come ahead.
Connie Birmingham was the nurse.
I see the doctor hears about this.
Alex Birmingham was Luke.
What trouble was that, Uncle Jim?
Stephen Oney was Noah Weather.
This is Noah Weather Radio with A60 on weather advisory.
Catherine Oney was Nikki.
Here comes the moon out.
Ethan Paulini, Lenny. Chris Fuller, Polly. And Gary Thorup, the kid.
What are you going to do?
Keep it down there.
Oh, you can't do that.
Daniel Bauer was the baby. This program was produced by Stephen Oney and Mark Birmingham. Written and directed by Stephen Thomas Oney. Engineering, mix, and original music by Mark Birmingham. Tonight's program was recorded at Rosemead, Los Angeles. Additional recording at HD Studio, Cape Cod, National Geographic Headquarters, Washington, D.C., and Opryland, USA, Nashville. Copyrighted by Stephen Thomas Oney for Cape Cod Radio Mystery Theater. Special thanks to John Todd, Jim Geyer, Bob Limley, Vince Wynn, Dr. Jeffrey Oney, Debbie Oney, Fred Moorhead, Nancy Morris, and the crew of the Maurice F. Alverson. Extra special thanks to Captain Edgar Allan Poe. This is Mark Birmingham wishing you a pleasant evening and inviting you to tune in again when the fog rolls in on another chapter of Cape Cod Radio Mystery Theater.
Grateful acknowledgement to Cincinnati Millicron, National Geographic Society, Midland Guardian Transport Company,
Opryland USA, United States Coast Guard, American Waterways Operators, and the River School in Memphis.